will change what and how we market to children under 12 using nutrient criteria based on currently available scientific reports.
That's David Mackay, president and CEO of the Kellogg Company, during a recent webcast the global cereal giant posted to release word of how it's changing its marketing to children based on criteria the company created for itself.
Our new Kellogg Global Nutrient Criteria establishes an upper limit to the amount of calories, fat, sodium and sugar per serving for products marketed to children. For those products that do not meet the criteria, we will either shift the mix of advertising to a new target, or we'll innovate the products to meet the criteria, or we will not advertise them after late 2008.
Kellogg is the world's largest cereal maker. Its new standard means certain products won't be promoted in TV, radio, print, or website ads targeted at children under 12 unless a single serving of the product meets certain standards, including no more than 200 calories, no trans fat and no more than 2 grams of saturated fat, no more than 230 milligrams of sodium or salt, and no more than 12 grams of sugar per serving. Kellogg Canada will continue its practice of not advertising to children under 6. All this should be good news to parents concerned about how marketing and ads affect their children. At a recent seminar about curbing junk food marketing to kids, Brian Cook from the Toronto Public Health Service talked about how advertising to children does have an impact.
On one hand, it is almost silly to research whether advertising has an influence on children's diets, because if it doesn't have an influence, there's a lot of marketing directors that need to be fired for spending billions of dollars a year on something that doesn't work. So instinctively, we know this stuff works.
Cook went on to discuss a 2006 review of scientific research on the links between TV ads and how they influence children, published by the U.S. Institute of Medicine, or IOM.
So first of all, the big thing that we already know instinctively is that the ads have a much stronger influence on younger children versus teenagers. And in terms of children ages 2 to 11, the IOM report did find strong evidence of an influence on food and beverage preferences, purchase requests, and short-term consumption, and moderate evidence of its influence on food and beverage beliefs and the usual dietary intake of younger children.
Cook says the research shows that children under 8 aren't capable of comprehending the persuasive intent of the messages in TV ads, and that children under 4 can't tell the difference between TV ads and the actual programming the ads appear in. The Institute of Medicine study identified a link between TV ads and obesity in young children, but didn't have enough research to definitively say TV ads cause obesity. Cook says the research in this area is slim and has plenty of gaps in it that he'd like to see filled with more studies. The other part of Kellogg's news last week is that the company will introduce new front-of-box packaging on its products to make it easier for parents to study nutritional content. That should make the House of Commons Standing Committee on Health happy. Its report on childhood obesity recommended simple front-of-pack labeling and improved regulations on children's food advertising. Kellogg may be improving the labeling and changing its advertising standards, but by and large, food and beverage advertising in Canada is unregulated or self-regulated by the industry, except in Quebec, where advertising to children is banned. Michelle Simon is a public health lawyer with the Centre for Informed Food Choices. She thinks that the processed food industry is not doing enough to curb marketing toward children and tries to place too much of the blame for overconsumption of junk food on parents.
Of course parents bear some responsibilities, no question about that, but the way to respond to that is what responsibility do corporations bear to not undermine parents' best efforts to teach their kids to eat right? And of course, you know, if corporations really thought that parents were the ones to police their children, why are corporations doing an end run around parents and using all these different strategies that are directly targeting kids? So when they use cartoon characters, when they use internet fun websites, these are directly targeting kids. They're not saying to mom, buy this product for your kids. They're going after the nag factor. So it's very disingenuous to hear a lot of these corporate arguments.
Simon would like to see governments enact legislation that would end the use of cartoon characters, toys, and websites targeted towards kids by processed food advertisers, along with other electronic methods.
The new frontier, by the way, digital advertising. This is the scariest thing to me. Imagine your kid watching TV, hitting a button to order pizza, and it shows up at the door, and you're like, what the hell is this? And because your 5-year-old has figured out how to order pizza by clicking a button on the TV. I'm not kidding, this is coming. So, you know, all of these technologies are emerging, and it's just going to get worse, so we really need to get on top of this.
People like Michelle Simon and Brian Cook are urging parents and educators to put pressure on governments and schools to curb food marketing to children. During its webcast, Kellogg showed a slide of all the different ways it markets its products. These include product placement, viral marketing, celebrities affiliated with kids' programs and channels, branded toys and games, sponsorship of kids' clubs, and cell phones. These methods are a telling tale of how we can be bombarded with messages from the moment we wake up in the morning to when we go to bed at night. Now that's food for thought. I'm Don Genova.